Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there, Keelan Patterson. It was Muscle P4P Real Talk. And this program is sponsored by more than just P4P Muscle. Dad, you want to give a shout out to him?
Yeah, we're going to give a shout out tonight to Limitless Elite Gym. So on behalf of Kaylin and I, salute to small businesses that support natural bodybuilding.
All right. And P4P Muscle and the number one drug-free sponsored foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, yeah, because you got 2 feet. And a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Dad?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Well, I reckon. And now, before that, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. Y'all. And now let's talk. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Kaylin. How are you?
I'm happy. How's that? I'm actually... It's been a good day, and everything's been going well. And, hey, Five Star Fitness won that team trophy, Lee. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And Kaylin's talking about the Chi-Town Showdown that took place last weekend, and Five Star Fitness walked away with a team trophy. So they walked away with a bunch of stuff. Because I tell you, Joe Perez, Heather Perez, and their crew, they give away a bunch of stuff to all of their overall winners. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, they had to bring helpers from backstage to come out and help the winners, the overall winners, carry off everything that they had. They had swords. They had multiple bags. They had sculptures. They had belts. I mean, they had stuff. They just had so much stuff. That's all I can say about it. They had stuff.
Now, I'm interested in the goodie bag because I was not privy to see it, but I heard a lot about it. And there was one picture, and I was like, wait a minute. Are they just doing that for the you know, just for picture purposes, or is it really what was in the goodie bag?
No, the goodie bags were chock full of a lot of stuff too, just smaller versions of the stuff. I mean, a lot of great samples of supplements, proteins, you name it, it was in there. You know, they also had a nice t-shirt, information in there about the Windy City competition coming up in August. It was very full itself. Shaker bottles, I mean, lots of stuff in there. So athletes got a bunch of stuff when they registered, and then if they won, they got even more.
Well, yeah. And I like you brought up the point about the getting people from backstage to help, because I don't know if anyone's used to doing an overall pose down, but there's not much energy left to pick up anything, much less the one of the trophies. But when you have the hardware that he had, because, you know, I get that people aren't used to getting the size trophies that, I mean, because, like, I saw the third and fourth place trophies, and I like, man, anywhere else, that's the first place overall, and that's what they're getting for fourth place. So I was really amazed. Like he said, he's going to step it up every year, and he's so far so good. I mean, my goodness. But to do an overall pose down and then have to carry all that stuff out there, because, you know, the gym bag that they got was chock full of more supplements, and then you had the actual trophy itself, plus the sword, plus, I mean, it's just so much. And I was thinking, wow, you know, maybe we're going to have people designated next year to make sure that the show can go a little bit quicker from people basically having to find a way to carry the stuff off stage. Wow.
Maybe they just need to put in a little wagon. Instead of putting it in a duffel bag, just get little wagons, load it all in there, and then everybody just rolls off stage with a little wagon. So Joe Perez, if you're listening, check out. Yep. Check out the Red Race style little wagon, put a little Chi-Town logo on it, and we'll be good. We'll be good. I would die laughing if I showed up next year, and he had a whole row of little wagons sitting out on stage.
Exactly, you know, it would be original, that's for sure. Now,
that it would.
There were many of the listeners and a lot of people that attended the Heart of America. That was not a mistake. That was something personal that happened to me where I couldn't get to the videos to upload them. So they're in Dez's good hands now, and we'll be getting those out soon. So before you guys start to, you know, berate me again about not getting to those, we did not it's not an oversight or something we missed. That was just something that was basically out of both of our hands, literally. And, you know, now we're able to address it, so we will. And so our apologies, because Dez was getting ready for a show, and I was basically on the road at the same time when all of this happened. So, you know, it's basically we're getting settled in and the dust is clearing, and we'll actually be able to get a hold of that. So Karen, Sal, Debbie, you know, we're not overlooking your family members. We did cover the Heart of America. We did get the videos. They're not lying. They're not pulling your leg. And we will get those videos to you soon. So our apologies, no, my apologies. That had nothing to do with this. This is all on me. And, you know, we'll get that stuff to you soon.
And that we will, and by getting it to you soon, the best way that they will be made available is we will get them uploaded to the Midwest Muscle YouTube channel, and then we'll also be posting to the Midwest Muscle website. Website, what am I saying? We don't have a website yet, but to the Midwest Muscle Facebook page. So we will let you guys know when they're going to be available there, hopefully soon. But we've got, there were a ton of interviews that Kaylin has from the Heartland of America show. So I think he talked to every competitor that was at the show, if not pretty darn close. And then we've also got to work through the Chi-Town Showtown videos as well. So do be patient, but I will get those out and up as quickly as possible. So,
yes.
So we are in the heart of competition season, and shows are rolling fast
no
and furious.
Intended.
And no pun intended. And if you want to keep up with the number of shows that are out there these days, there is a great website that you can go to. I mean, there are several Facebook pages out there where a lot of the promoters post all of their information, but it's, you know, it's always kind of a rolling list. If you don't see the post when it comes up, then you might miss that show. If they don't post frequently, then you may miss it again. So there's a great website out there, and it is put together by Andrea Castile. And of course, wouldn't you know it, I had it pulled up and now I don't, but she has all of the natural shows that is known to man out there, and they're all in one list, and they are separated by month, so you can hit her website and you can see where a natural show is anywhere in the U.S. and have an idea if you want to go check one of those out. And I believe it is drugfreeathleticphysiques.com, but I am going to confirm that here for you in just a second. But you know, in looking at that, oh, it's .org actually. It's drugfreeathleticphysiques.org. I know, in speaking with her last weekend, because she was at the Chi-Town Showdown, she had listed that there are over 400 natural shows in the U.S. this year. And that's not even counting a handful of straggling organizations that have natural shows, but maybe not 100% all of their shows fitting into the natural category. So right now you can head out there and check out what's going on for the rest of May. I think the last post I saw, Kaylin, was there over 40 shows in May alone? I know at least, maybe even more than 50. So it's a great resource. Check it out, drugfreeathleticphysiques.org. She also provides background on pretty much all of the natural organizations that are out there, or at least a link to the organization. So it is the alphabet soup that we're always talking about, but you can find them there. Just a lot of great information. So do check that out. And you know, if you like it, give her your feedback, let her know. And if you, there are some things that you are dying to know but present on that site, let her know, because she'll find it out for you.
And also to piggyback what Des just said, for the competitor, this is like a godsend, because she covers pricing, she covers some of the things, the little knick-knack things that we tend to not speak about or not think about when we're actually thinking about competing. I mean, even down to hotel rooms and costs. So, you know, it's amazing the homework this lady has done and put into this, because it's a lot of work when you're talking about that many shows over the year, and she's covering the organizations in depth, you know, what they expect, what's expected of you. So she's done her homework, so you don't have to. So don't be lazy and basically not go to it after she's put so much effort into it. And I just wanted to add that part to it.
Oh, yeah, and thanks. And, you know, she's done it for you. She's done it for the athletes, so do use the resource. That's why it's there, and we wanted to call it to your attention, because it does have so much information there. So there's no reason not to be in the know, and I'll have to take that advice myself, because now there's no reason for me not to be in the know. Woo! So anyway, walk in the talk there. So we've got a question from Bill. And he wants to know what shows are in the future for both Kaylin and I. Well, I tell you, Bill, that's kind of a complicated question, because Kaylin and I started out the year with a plan, and we're still working that plan. It just hasn't worked out 100% the way that we thought it would. So with all things being equal, if all the stars align and all the planets align with the stars, Kaylin and I will be at the NGA USA Championships in Madison, Wisconsin,
yeah,
next month, June 24th. We're also planning on being at the Windy City Naturals in Chicago on August, 19th. I don't have a calendar up in front of me, but I think the 19th is that Saturday. So in the very near future, those two shows we are definitely shooting for. And then there is also the Minnesota Mayhem coming up this fall. Again, we are both looking to be at that show. So if you can get any one of those three, Lord willing, I mean, you know what? We always try our best. We always have the best of intentions. But, you know, sometimes life just gets in the way and there's nothing you can do about it. But, Bill, if you're going to be at any of those shows, definitely let us know, and be sure to look us up when you're there, because we would love to have our picture taken with you, and we would love to meet you. Always would like to put a face with a name to our listeners to the show, so definitely that would be awesome. So keep us posted on what your activities are. I don't know, Kaylin, where is – oh, Bill, you're out of Minnesota, so – maybe the Minnesota Mayhem, I mean, it's in Duluth, but maybe that's the show. Maybe that's the show where we'll be able to connect.
There you go. There you go. And trust me, we do appreciate our listeners, and we thank you guys so much. Even as some of the questions you guys are just really shocking to me and Des, not in a bad way, in a great way, because we're really impressed with your depth and your knowledge over, you know, the sport that we love so much, because usually – maybe we're being ignorant in our own adolescence of learning, but we really don't expect some of the questions we get, because they're so far ahead of what we've known, you know, just from Jim speak and everything else. So thank you guys for doing your research. Thank you so much for the questions. And, you know, with the fact that so many of you aren't competitors, it's just amazing that you've gone to such depths to ask the questions that you asked. So, you know, we're not overlooking that, and that definitely doesn't go past us that you asked that. And we speak about this quite a bit, and how we're amazed at how you keep up with the criteria, maybe not so much with the organizations, but just the fact that some poses look different, and why was this judged a certain way and why it wasn't. So, you know, we'll be getting to those questions. We definitely didn't miss the ones that you had, and I think I spoke about that when I was talking with Earl. I know he's a head judge, but at the time we were covering the topic of transformations, and we had so many questions on that that I didn't want to get into judging and take away from the questions that dealt with the very topic that we were talking about that day, because Des and I if we can't answer your question at once, we will definitely answer it in the future over another show, because we've got plenty of people we can reach out to with all kinds of good factual knowledge. And let me say that again, good factual knowledge, not BS, not what we think, not hearsay. These people know the know because, like they say, they walk the walk and they talk the talk. So they're very in-depth about what they speak on, and we will get a definite answer in-depth about what you're asking.
Yeah, no doubt. And to kind of tag on to that, we still have a couple of questions from when we had Head Judge Medina Roberts on our show that we have yet to share answers with you on. And so we're finally getting a chance to do that tonight. And I think that's going to be a good segue or a good setup into our show on Thursday, where we will have Earl back with us from the NDA to talk more about judging. So if you will indulge me a little bit, here are a couple of those questions. One of them was, how many people can be on stage and still be judged correctly? What is your guesstimate, Kalen? How many people?
Well, I've always said anything more than seven. Anything more than 10, up to 10, and I think you need to do a split because, you know, I don't care what the size of the stage. What I've always seen is the lighting varies, and unless you basically run the gambit on swinging them around, it's going to take an awful lot of time. You know, and, you know, we learned that at the Chi-Town is that, you know, basically when you had anything over seven, the judges are so good at what they're doing, they want to be so precise and they don't want anybody to be missed, that it did start to take in the time. And then when it got to the bikini class, it seemed like things not people in the audience, but the people backstage were getting antsy, and it seemed like it had stalled, which it hadn't. So, you know, when they broke them up, that's when it ran a little bit smoother. And I think that's the same thing that happened at the Heart of America, where they had to basically break it down because, you know, no judge. And, you know, even when we were talking to Chris Salgado, who had a chance to judge, he said, you know, you really want that competitor to get their just due for all the work they've done. So, you know, we get to hear what most people don't talk about from the judges and get to hear the fears from the judges that they don't screw up. So, you know, it's not taken lightly, and I don't think any judge does. If the person did, I'm sure they've been booted out by now. And I think that's the best way to go about it. And I know John and Becky Arnold are very good for that, where they break it up, because they do want to cover every athlete in the way they're supposed to. So, you know, it's improving, but there are time constraints sometimes where, you know, it's just not going to happen. And there are also times where basically first through third are already seen as soon as they walk out on stage and just get them through the poses because you already know. And you know, people might sound like, you know, where you already picked your first, second, and third place, but sometimes it is that obvious. I'll just be honest. It's glaringly obvious. And, you know, I've seen where first, second, and third have been removed, and basically we're just trying to figure out who's fourth and fifth from everybody that's left. That's not disrespectful to the competitors at all. That's basically appreciation for the hard work that's been done by the competitor that's doing it. So, you know, big shout out to them by acknowledging that because of the hard work. I think that's respect. I don't think that's disrespect to anyone.
Gotcha. Very well said. As far as Coach Medina, she is a coach, but head judge Medina, she says that from her experience, a maximum of 20 in a class, and that is if the class is split into two groups of 10. So, for example, as Kalen had referenced with the Natural Southern States Classic, they had probably upwards of 30 girls probably per class, but the way they handled it, for instance, I was in the medium-tall class, so they had short, they had medium tall, and then they had tall classes. And then within each of those classes, they would have, you know, short one, short two, medium one, medium two, medium three, medium tall one, two, mm-hmm. three. I mean, you get the gist. So they break you down by height class, and then within you down by class again, and they had between 10 to 9 girls on stage at one time, and that's where Judge Medina is coming in. And she says, with that number, you could make sure that all of the girls are seen at some point against each other. And if you have a head judge who's really good at moving individuals around from side to side, so the judges, regardless of where they're sitting at the judging table, get a chance to see them right in front of them, then that's also a plus as well. And then she had a side note that at the OCB, which is where she does a lot of her judging, and she's part of that organization, they work hard to have a max of 10 in each class, and they just feel that's the best way to see everyone on the stage at the same time. So the magic number would be a maximum of 10. And then she shares a story at a time when she competed at the NPC. She was in a class of 37 girls and said, I was on stage for what, 20 seconds? Please, there's no way all of us were compared or judged fairly. So there you have it. Try to keep it to smaller numbers so everyone gets a fair shake and gets seen equally among all the judges. And then the last remaining question that we had is, how close is a group, and is that why some classes stay on stage longer than others? And I think Kaylin pretty much already answered that one too. But Judge Medina goes on to say, it depends on the quality of the competitors we have in the class. For example, if we have a class of 10 competitors, but many are not ready, you can focus on the top 5, and between each is some difference in conditioning or symmetry, et cetera, and place them quickly because the level of conditioning is obvious. So as Kaylin said, sometimes it's glaring. You can just see right away who your top placers are because the conditioning is so far ahead of the other girls that are on the stage. But then on instances where it's very close, they will be out there a long time. You will see them during their mandatory turn several times. They'll probably walk back and forth, and this is the bikini girls. The bikini girls are primarily the only ones that walk to the back of the stage and the front of the stage. You'll see them walking several times because the judges they're just looking for any minute difference at that point to put one athlete over the other because they have to pick. They have to put you in a certain placement. So they are looking at every single aspect so they can assign a placing. Sometimes it's really obvious. Sometimes it's not. And when it's not, and when it's a very close call and the athletes are just all very similar in their conditioning and their symmetry and their posing, that's when it takes a long time.
Yes. To piggyback that, what Des is basically saying, when people walk out on stage, your first thing is to look at everything that's right. When you get to the point you can't decide who's first, second, and third, then you have to start looking for everything that's wrong. And basically you're doing it with a fine-tooth comb because it does get that tight sometimes. So, you know, it judging, I'm telling you, if you really got to hear what's in a judge's head, it's a fear because a lot of them have competed and they know, you know, all the hard work, all the hard prep. So, yeah, if it takes time to get it right, then God bless them. I mean, guys, we can't be complaining about every single aspect of what the judge is doing if they're trying to do it right. I would rather them, you know, take 10 minutes extra and get the right call than to have the person not score correctly or the score done incorrectly because they feel they're being rushed. Because, you know, just like in any other sport, the judge is a referee. The judge is the lineman. The judge is the field goalkeeper. I mean, there's so many things that we could liken it to, but we really don't understand the pressure they're going to go under because they're not on stage. They're still making a call. And if it's a bad one, they're going to be remembered for that. And, you know, like the other judges will tell you, especially the head judge, some people aren't called back because they just screwed up too much. And no one wants to feel that way, like they did it wrong, and they did it so wrong that they screwed somebody out of a position because there's so much camaraderie that still translates to the judges and anyone else involved, even the expediters. I mean, we forget about them, but they care too, and they want everything to run smooth. Everybody wants everything to run smooth, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. And we can't be so critical and hypercritical of that one moment that we take away everything that everybody's worked for.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Good point. We have a question here from Sarah, and this one is addressed to me, and she wants to know how I could go from one show and win an overall and then be given second in my class at the Chi-Town Showdown. Well, Sarah, I wish I had a cut and dried, easy answer for you, lady. But, you know, there are a lot of factors that play into it, and the Chi-Town Showdown, although it was close, it was a close first and second point spread in my class. It just wasn't my day. And I'm really not going to go into all of the things that I felt probably weren't up to par for me, because I feel like that's just taking away from Jane and what she accomplished. She beat me that day, fair and square, and that's just how it goes. I mean, you never know who's going to show up at a given show, and you could be spot on one show, and the next show, you know, if you're not 100%, there's a good chance that you're not going to walk away with the first place trophy. That's just how it happens sometimes. Sometimes the point spreads are so close that you can lose by 1 point, you can lose by 2 points, and it happens that fast. So if your posing's off, you come in flat, you know, if whatever reason, you didn't sleep well the night before and you didn't have the same amount of energy, you weren't presenting the same amount of confidence, you know, whatever it might have been, that's going to count against you. And if the girl next to you is able to execute on all of those areas flawlessly, then she's going to win, and rightly so. But you better believe that I've got 6 weeks to pull it back together for the NGA USA Championship, and that's exactly what I intend to do. So, you know, I never go into a show hoping to place anything less than first, because why work for anything less than that? I mean, that's just my attitude. That's how I look at things. But I am not going to be down in the dumps if that doesn't happen. I know what my game plan is. I know what it is that I need to work on. And all I can say is, for anyone who's listening to this show, if you're show ready, I encourage you to register for the NGA USA Championships, because I'm looking for a good competition. I want there to be stiff competition. I want there to be athletes there that are going to push me to be my best. And you know what? I really thank you guys, and I love you for all of your support. You know what? I'm going to try to be that number one spot for you guys the next time around. This time it didn't work out for me, but that's okay. That's okay. I congratulate Jane, and I look forward to seeing her on the circuit. And, you know, Jane is a first-place winner, too. She's walked into shows, and she's won first place. She's won third place. We take our turn sometimes. That's just kind of how it goes. I mean, I don't know how many teams that go through a whole year, whether it's a team sport or individuals, that are 100% undefeated.
Yes.
It happens. It does, but not always 100% of the time. So I still am very blessed that I was second. It was close. And I'm going to have my turn come around again in a couple of weeks. So hopefully you guys will be cheering for me then too.
And I'm sure they will. But there's also the point that we definitely have to cover, and that is criteria and the criteria for different organizations. So one
that is
look
true.
Might well for one, you know, athlete at one show, but that same look, and I'm talking about the exact same look. You could walk on stage with the exact same structure from the exact same diet and have everything on point, but because it's a different organization, they might have a different look for the criteria. And that's not taking anything away from Des at all. That's basically saying she had that look that worked well with one organization, and trust me, we went in there with that idea, and you know, it was something we thought about, but just her metabolism was so spot on with being ready for one look, it just did not want to step away from it. And you can't, let me say it this way. You cannot be mad at a judge for doing their job correctly.
No, you can't.
I mean, I've seen where a super conditioned look and 20 pounds lighter, one on stage, but you go to another organization, that same exact look for a bodybuilder, and they lose, and they're in fifth place with the exact same group. There's a first place guy that was basically fourth, but he won first, not the overall at that place, but just that same five category of guys in bodybuilding. And the guy that got fourth place in one organization got first place in another simply because of the scoring of the criteria. There's nothing against the athlete. If your metabolism is going a certain way, I don't care if you've got a baseball bat, a hammer, and a Hilti gun. You're not going to knock it the other way in a couple of days. That's what being a natural athlete is. You're going to be going in that direction. Your body says, okay, I can slow down or do something this, but you got to do some drastic things. And if you're dealing that with your health, that's never a good idea. Let me tell you that right now. Go with the look you got. My dad used to say, dance with the date you brought. If that's your date, then you better take it all the way in. And hopefully everything can line up where you do win. But if it's good, stiff competition and the criteria is different, guess what? Like Des says, you're stepping off without that first place trophy. And I'm glad that happens, because if that's the organization's criteria and they stick with it, then God bless them. Because if you step out of it, I'm guaranteeing that whole year you're going to have every competitor that looks at that criteria in mass confusion, and then it's, your show suffers next year. So it's definitely not worth it.
And, you know, Kaylin, thank you for bringing that point up, because when I tend to look at, you know, answering the question that we're answering, I'm looking at it more from the athlete's perspective of being immersed in it, and you're bringing in a perspective that's looking from the outside in at it versus being on stage and being like, all right, I saw this girl do this, and I, you know, my this compared to that, and so on and so forth. And Kaylin is right. So we talk a lot about doing your homework going into a show. And I did that. I checked out the criteria, and going into it, I did know that the physique that I had did not 100% match what was listed in their criteria. And, you know, I had shared that with Kaylin, and we talked about it. I mean, we talk a lot with each other behind the scenes about, you know, just the sport in general, because Kaylin is a coach, and he's a great person to bounce information off of. And, you know, and he was like, well, you know, Des, if that's what the criteria is, that's what it is. And, you know, but it didn't deter me, because I am a competitor at heart, and I knew there wasn't a whole lot that I could do about it. I did what I could and adjust, and but being only 2 weeks in between shows. But again, I don't like to look at that as an excuse or a reason why, but it is very much a reality, and it is a good point.
Yes.
It is a good point to bring up, and that, you know what, still do your homework, know what you're up against, and just be ready for what's there if you decide to still continue to compete with that organization. And this is the first time that I have competed with the NABBA. The Natural Southern State Classics was NAMBF, but I thoroughly enjoyed my time at the Chi-Town Showdown. Again, Joe Perez did a fantastic job. The judges did a great job. And, you know, I still want one of those plastics.
Next year.
So I'm going to have to find a show where I can win one. And, if, you know, and if the NABBA, if the Chi-Town Showdown is it for the sword that I want, then, yep, you better believe I'll be thinking about going back.
No, you're not thinking about going back. I want that same trophy.
Your little buns better be on that stage next year. I know this year it couldn't be helped. I know. I'm just saying.
No, Joe and I have already talked about that, and because honestly, up until everything that was going on, I was supposed to be the team captain, and you know, like I said, when things get derailed for me, and I'm sure the listeners know by now, it gets derailed to where nothing on the tracks is even runnable. So it's one of those situations where you can't, like I said, you just can't avoid it, but you just try to lessen the impact. And, you know, honestly, guys, I want to be on stage. I'm not kidding. I hunger for it. I do enjoy competing. I love this sport. I'm very passionate about it. You, I don't think anybody has a deeper love for this sport and the camaraderie and the people than I do. And I'm not taking away from anybody, but I'm saying you're going to have to match me pretty good if you're willing to do what I'm willing to do for natural bodybuilding, because I do believe in overall health. I do believe in a fit individual. I do believe in a person being able to be around their family and still sustain the sport that they care for. I do believe that you should be able to compete and still have a life. I mean, I'm looking for all of these avenues. I hate bro science. I'm not even kidding. When I talk about it, it's a distinct hate. So, you know, just understand we want, Dez and I, we want everything to go well. And there's times where it doesn't go well for us. But it's not that we're not trying. Trust me.
but for sure. So, and I had, as a follow-up to the show, as you guys probably guessed right now, we, Kaylin and I are the guests tonight. Just us two. We're not waiting to bring anyone else on the show. So just a couple more points, and then we're gonna let you guys get to your evening. But I had posted a video on my page just talking about the outcomes of the Chi-Town Showdown and what's coming up in the future. But then also an issue that I saw that I am seeing that we're going to be addressing more on the show, but I'm going to go ahead and lay the foundation for it right now, is that this has been in the bikini area for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. I haven't seen it happen too much in any of the other female categories. But in the last two shows I've been in, I kid you not, there has been at least one athlete that has almost passed out or has passed out or seized up on stage and could not return to the stage. And that is very frightening to me. Because there's no reason. If you listen to my video, you can find me on Facebook at Desiree Fletcher, and just scroll down a little bit. You can find it and listen to it. But that is very disconcerting to me. And the fact that Kaylin brought up, you know, how opposed to bro science we are, I just had to share that, because those types of situations, for the most, and I know there's always an exception to the rule, but they have, in my mind, bro science written all over them.
Yes. And that's very true. When you're talking about the health aspect, you know, and you know, I'm going to talk about this, well, we are going to talk about this with Dr. Peter Fitchin, is,
yes,
you know, everybody's so worried about getting somebody to stage, they're not really caring about the health that gets the help they have when they get there. And that's always been a great, great concern to me, because I can't imagine if someone had tried to have a one of these diets and me play basketball, football, baseball, track and field, and some of the quote unquote knowledge that's being passed on is frightening. I said, all right, you have me play the best game of my life, and then I can't play for the rest of the year? Are you kidding? And that's basically what's going on with some of these. And I can't even call them diets, because these people aren't eating. I mean, the technical term
eating.
For diet.
They're not.
Yeah. So the technical term for diet is what you eat. And these people aren't eating. Well, go ahead, Dan.
No. And I was just going to say, and I know that they have coaches, because we were there. We talked to them.
Yes.
And even and here's just one more example of, in speaking with another athlete that's prepping for a show, he's telling me about his daughter, who happens to be about 5'4". She's about 110 pounds or so, probably less than that, but I'm going to say 110. And she's prepping for a bikini show. She is 11 weeks out, and her coach cut all of her fats.
Yeah.
All of them.
Now tell me that's not serious.
What, I mean, really, when you understand the role that fats play in the functioning of your organs, your digestive, I mean, just everything that happens in your body.
Everything.
I mean, they're almost like water. They're a necessity. And you're going to cut 100% of those, or at least try, because tell me, what protein are you going to find with no fat?
With no fat, exactly.
I mean, really,
so, I mean,
what is it this girl is eating if she's got no fats? And
dog.
I can just envision where, if she were to actually have stuck to that, where she would be in 11 weeks. I mean, the stories, the horror stories of hair falling out, I mean, you know, blackouts, this, that, and the next thing, they're not stories. They are real. But what gets me is there in this day and age, there should not be a coach out there that is putting their athletes through such extreme measures to cause reactions like that. It shouldn't happen.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about this. I'm not going to keep belaboring the point, but I just want to say, if you are an athlete or you know of an athlete who is facing a situation like we just described and they are failing, they are not thriving, get your losses, get out, find a different coach, or take a break and regroup. There are lots of coaches out there. Kaylin and I can give you wonderful referrals. There is always another show. The show is not that important. If it's your ultimate goal to compete, stay healthy long enough to compete and have a good experience and be ready to continue competing if that's what you want to do. Do not damage yourself for the sake of getting on stage. Please, don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I'll just throw one more piece on there, and it's about, you know, there's show ready and there's health ready. And, you know, we do challenge our bodies. But that's in any sport. I mean, there's the risk of an ankle turn in basketball and football. There's the risk of being hit by a pitch in baseball. But you don't throw yourself in front of the pitch hoping, you know, you don't get injured. Because that's basically what's happening with the way things are going with these. And I can't even call them coaches. I don't even want to go there because it's just, We have to live that Christian life in good and bad. And it really hurts to hear that people have been suffering needlessly for no other apparent reason than to compete. And trust me, if there's been times when someone with the worst of all diets has stepped on stage and their bodies were so blessed to make it through that unnecessary sacrifice, and they still won, and they won big. And that's what I'm talking about when I say that you can win, but you lose everything. Because the person that I always have in mind has always stuck in my mind. You don't need to know the name, that's, you know, she's suffered enough. But after that show and she was allowed food, her body has never recovered. It's been over 7 years. And the damage was that bad. I'm telling you, no coach, no show, no event. Let's just step outside of bodybuilding. Nothing is worth your health. Nothing. And anyone that convinces you different, like Ness said, get a cattle prod, stick them and run, because they have no care or concern for your health. Trust me.
So, I mean, and don't get me wrong, do we sacrifice? Yes. Are there times, are there certain points in the training where you're going to be hungry? Yes. Are there times where you're going to want to eat something that you can't? Without a doubt. We all make those sacrifices. We're prepared to do that. But it's in a healthy fashion. It's in a very controlled fashion. And it's with full knowledge of what's going on and how things are interacting and reacting in our bodies. It's not done carelessly. You know, we know those. We accept those things, no doubt. So I'm not saying they don't happen. I'm not saying that. But there's... there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And I just want to help anyone, if I can, avoid the wrong way.
Yes. And a good example, a very good example, is nobody likes to be in pain. Nobody.
No.
It hurts and we can't stand it. But when we lift, guess what? We're going to be in pain because we're growing the body and we're stretching the muscle. We're actually ripping the muscle to grow it. So those tears cause pain. That's a pain everyone can live with because we basically did the work. The pain is from the result of the work. But if somebody basically is cracking you inside your back to get that extra rep with a bamboo stick, then that's needless suffering and pain. And no one in their right mind would say, you know, this is something that we should all do. Because, hey, it's getting that extra rep. It's not getting an extra rep. It's causing you a great deal of pain, and the payout is never equal to what's being asked. So, you know, like they're just saying, our choice is our choice. But our choice is not our help. We're choosing to improve, or we're choosing to lean out. We're choosing to basically find a healthy way to be better at the sport we love.
Yes.
If something debilitates you to where your health becomes a concern, then that's not good. You know, I remember when Michael Jordan had gotten sick when he was playing in the championship finals, and his temperature was through the roof. And he said, well, I'm going to finish this game. And, you know, because of his star status, very few people questioned about him actually doing it. He looked back and said, you know, he was so close to death. The mature, non-playing person would have said, get him out of there because it's not worth his life. You know, because they wanted to end it on game six instead of game seven, he was willing to die. And, you know, there's times in our lives where we'll get to that point because we want something so bad. But there has to be that voice of reason that can step in and say, it's not worth it. All of us are going to hit that road. We're going to hit that wall. But we shouldn't be hitting the wall with no seatbelt, no car cage, basically just running as fast as we can, being basically shot out of a cannon into a brick wall where you know there's going to be damage. You know there could be death. You know everything's going to go wrong if somebody's allowed to fire that pin in that cannon. It's just not worth it, people. Honestly, I don't know you and I love you. And I mean, and the ones we have as regular listeners, I love you guys too. And I can't imagine saying it's okay for you to risk your health or your life or your family's dynamic or the relationships and the fellowships that you have for one show. Are you kidding? Are you seriously? There's no way you can be serious with that kind of thinking. Check yourself in because there's something really wrong. And you've got your priorities seriously mixed up. And I'm sure that's a rant that went too long, but what's been happening has been going on too long. And Dez and I are seriously trying to bury bro science. We're trying to bury all the ignorance that keeps this sport from growing in the way it should. And we're not saying this from our point of view. We're saying this from a health point of view, a life point of view, a Christian point of view. We actually care. And we want you to be at that next show. We want you to make it back to the gym and still love it. Not have it, yes. Everything about the process. That's all I got to say.
Well, there we go. I think you got it. So anyway, guys, nothing but love. And I think that's all we got for tonight. So if we didn't cover enough, we'll try and do better next time. But again, Thursday, Earl Snyder, NGA, we're going to be talking about judging, so do get us all of your questions. Feel free to submit early. If you don't get a chance to submit early, tune in and send us your questions then, and we will definitely try and get them all in. With that being said, Kaylin, any last-minute thoughts before we hit the road?
Yes. We're going to be having a very informative, educated and very well-rounded individual coming up, Peter, and he can answer all the questions that we might not be answering effectively because this man has written books, and I had made a comment, and a lot of people took offense to it, but, you know, it's irrelevant if you're speaking the truth. This man, if you don't know him or know of him, then you're not a guru in nutrition, and you're not someone who's well-knowledged in what you're saying. Because if you have someone writing books and being co-authored on something and basically hitting bestseller lists, that's because people have tried your technique and see the success and the truth in it. So when you've got that many years under your belt, Dr. Joe, Peter, and Lane, there's several people out there that have just been in this business so long. It might be new to you, but they're well-versed in what they know. They put themselves to theory. They put themselves to test. They basically guinea-pig themselves to see if this is truly fact or is just a theory that sounds good on paper. These people know beyond the shadow of a doubt because they've done test after test after test over select groups, pick groups, whatever. You have to know. These people, I can't imagine where you can say you've done all these studies and all these readings and you don't know these individuals because you've got to. I mean, it's like somebody saying they don't know Michael Jordan or Dr. J or David Robinson. Then you don't really know the NBA. Because if all you know is LeBron James, then you're still new to the game. I'll say it like that. So, you know, like they say, if we don't know the answer, we can get the answer for you because there's trusted people in this sport that know beyond the shadow of a doubt what the real answer is. And we will get that information. We will get that information. But don't go after these people, and Des and I haven't heard of them. And it's not that I don't want to make it sound like we're bragging, but we're so into this sport because of basically covering it the way we do. We're privy to information that basically makes sure the show works because we're getting you honest answers. That doesn't come by accident. So we do know the people that do know the answers. And if we probably haven't heard of your quote-unquote coach, or if there's somebody that's local in the gym and they basically had a couple of people where they trashed their diets and actually had them win on stage, I don't even want to say lucky for them. But ask around. Ask us. And if we can't find an answer, we will find an answer for the next show. But don't risk your health anymore. It's killing me. I love this sport with a passion. But it's killing me to see the health that's damaged by just one slipping through the crack. I don't want you to be that one. Dez doesn't want you to be that one. None of the P2P guys want you to be that one. We all want you to be number one. The best at what you can do. The best at who you are. The best that basically stepped on stage that day. But never at the risk of your health. I went on a rant to the end. I'm sorry. This is not my day for trying to be quiet.
Snickerdoodle shout out.
Yeah. Snickerdoodle, snickerpoodle.
On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the P4P boys, your body's a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.